Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Thanks again, everybody, for hanging out with me for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. And before I start every single show, you guys already know I like to take a few moments right in the beginning to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is inspired, motivated, and encouraged to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you guys for hanging out with me. And hey, listen, guys, you know, every single week I bring on incredible guests from all over the planet. And this week is no different. Today I have my spiritual father, my coach, my mentor, my friend, my confidant, a living legend in the industry, global motivator and impactor, Les Brown himself. What's going on, Pops, man? How you doing?
I am so excited to be on this broadcast with my spiritual son. It's a plum pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege. Come on now.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with me and my audience for a little while, man. And listen, if there's somebody that's out there that's listening and watching that doesn't know who you are, they must be living under a rock somewhere.
Yeah. So we will pray for them after we get through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, tell everybody a little bit about the old Les Brown, the young Les Brown, and some of the struggles and adversity and hardships you had to overcome to become this powerful, like me, man, mindset disruptor that's out there nowadays.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for our love and our friendship and with you and Andrea, and just what a blessing and motivation and inspiration you've been to me. You have enhanced my life. I remember when I was going in through a tough time and struggling with cancer, and you talked to me and you prayed for me, and that meant more to me than you can ever begin to imagine. And I just thank God for you every day, for your example, and for your caring, and for your love. I love that t-shirt, Compelled by Love. Oh yeah, I got to use that. That'll preach.
Yes.
Yeah, I was born in a poor section of Miami, Florida called Liberty City.
Wow.
With my twin brother, Wesley. And we were foster kids. And then my adopted mother adopted us and five other children. So I was raised with seven children, and mama, she worked for wealthy families on Miami Beach. She had a third grade education, and the way that she took care of us, she worked for these wealthy families, and we ate the food left over from the families that she cooked for. And as I've talked about so many times, that mama was a great cook, a great baker. She would bake a sweet potato pie so good you couldn't eat it with your shoes on. You had to take your shoes off so you could wiggle your toes.
That was a good pie. Yeah,
yes, man. And she cleaned their homes, and she kept their children. And we wore the hand-me-down clothes of the children that mama kept. And Jose, as a kid, my vision and dream was to buy my mother a home. And most people looking at me and my twin brother, they just said there's no way any of them would have the ability to do that, to say nothing of doing it together. Because I was in the fifth grade, I was labeled educable, mentally retarded, and put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade at Douglas Elementary School in Miami, south of where you are now. And fail again in the eighth grade at Booker T. Washington High School. And then I met this man who was very much like you. He had this kind of personality and charisma, and he motivated and inspired people. And he never looked at people like other people saw them. I was in his class, and he challenged me. I was looking for a friend named MacArthur Stevens. And he said, young man, go to the board and work this problem out for me. I said, sir, I can't do that. He said, why not? I said, I'm not one of his students. He said, do what I'm asking you to do anyhow. And the other students started laughing, saying, he's DT. And he asked, what's DT? He's a twin. Wesley is his twin brother. He's Leslie. Wesley is smart, but he's the dumb twin.
Wow.
And I said, I am, sir. And he came from behind his desk and he looked at me. He said, don't you ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. Wow. And so Jose, in that moment, he did something that I didn't realize at the time, that how people live their lives is a result of the story they believe about themselves. That's what right. He did was he interrupted my story. Mm. When you speak, when people see you come and you're in a wheelchair and you are speaking and motivating and inspiring people and you're saying to them, don't let your setbacks, don't let the things that have happened to you in life prevent you from living a full life.
That's right.
People who've been feeling defeated and overwhelmed, they look at you and your example and they say, whoa, if he can do that, then I can overcome what I'm facing. And so he interrupted my story about myself. And so I feel I'm grateful to him. I'm grateful for you and people who have been examples of what's possible. Your book is a prime example, and what you provided an insight. There are people who have nowhere near the challenges that you face every day, riding around in that wheelchair, mm-hmm. every day. And many of them have committed suicide.
Yeah.
Because they don't have your mindset. I saw this lady and she was talking about, and this was after one of the hurricanes down in the South Florida area. And she said, no, it was a tornado. And she said, I lost everything. And she's just crying. And I said, wait a minute. If I could have grabbed her, I'd have shook her and said, listen to me, Linda. Listen to me. You're standing. You have both use of your arms and your legs. I have a friend named Jose. He's riding around in a wheelchair. You can bathe yourself. Jose, yeah. He has to be bathed by his wife.
That's right.
You got life.
That's right.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Those are things. Those things can be replaced. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's one thing to say that. Somebody. It's something else to live from that place. And that's what you do. And that's why you're an inspiration 24/7. I'm humbled and honored to be with you.
Well, you know, one of the things that I don't even think I've ever told you this before, but before I even met you and I was working in corporate America and I decided that I wanted to use my voice and my mind to make a difference and become a speaker. And I'm on YouTube and Google, Googling motivational speakers. You know, you were one of the first ones that popped up, and there were some other people that popped up as well. But I always tell everybody, man, that, you know, out of everybody that I watched and listened to, your story resonated the most with me. Because all of the other speakers have great stories as well. But you know, like yours clicked with me. And when I heard you say the story that you just shared right now, a few moments ago, on that teacher who told you, someone's opinion of you doesn't have to become your reality. That just touched my heart immediately, man. And I know what that feels like, because like you said, I've dealt with that pretty much my whole life. And that's when I just started studying you and watching your stage presence and your voice tonality and your humor. And I was like, man, I got to study this guy, man. Cause if I could take some of his traits and apply them to what I'm doing, man, it's going to be a great day on earth. And so thank you, man, for just who you are, being who you are. You have such a powerful story, an amazing family. And just the way you tell your stories and your personality too, your transparency, your authenticity, and your vulnerability attracted me to you as well. You know, Les, what's one of the things that you think, looking back, hindsight, right? They always say hindsight is 20/20. What's one of the things that make you so likable, that you've built such a fan base across the globe, and people just flock to see you wherever you go, and they just love you and they want to hug on you. What do you think it is about you that emulates, that people are attracted to?
I think because I'm cornbread. You know, because I'm transparent, and I talk about my shortcomings. In my book, You've Got to Be Hungry, that I just completed, as I get toward the end, I share something that's raw, explosive, and it's very revealing. They say that we are three-dimensional. We have a public life, we have a private life, and we have a secret life.
Wow.
And I shared my secret life, and I cannot tell you the number of people who, because of what I shared, said, oh my God, this has made such a difference in my life.
Wow.
Thank you so much. I got a letter today where a guy said, when I read your book, I would laugh, then I would cry, then I would get quiet, and then I'll get my goals out and review them and start moving with a sense of urgency. He said, it was like you were in my head and right in my room with me. I couldn't put it down. And because of what I have experienced, I don't say what I have gone through, because I've come to know at 75, there are things that we experience in life, and the state of mind that most people are in, they say, here's what happened to me. But when you are Jose Flores, you say, here's what happened for me.
That's right.
And I'm going to define myself that this is not going to define me. I'm committed, in spite of the fact that I don't have the full use of my arms and legs. I'm committed to be a good husband, a good father, and to live a life that will outlive me.
Oh, that's right.
And so there are people who are depressed, looking at soap operas, people who are depressed, looking at old Mike Tyson fights, and Mike Tyson's about to come out of retirement at 53. Ask me, do I care anything about that? People watching old football games, entertainment, to escape the reality that this is a new world.
That's right.
And this is the time that, one, you have to develop mental resolve. You deal with that every day.
That's right.
Andrea deals with that every day.
Yep.
And so mindset is major. Next step, upgrading your skill set. We both are now using technology while people are committing themselves to suicide because they lost their job. Here you and I are using this computer to create our own job.
That's right.
This is the time you have to expand your skill set. Einstein said, the thinking that has brought me this far has created some problems that this thinking can't solve. So we're living in a time you either expand or you were expendable. You said, hey, I'm gonna find a way to use this to take care of me, my wife, and my children, and build a legacy. And that's what you're involved in. The third thing that's very important and major that you're doing, even with this interview that we're having now, and I see you as family, you're building a community of collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships. Mm-hmm. The reason that most people are committing suicide and feeling powerless and feeling hopeless and feel of anxiety, and the Book of Life says, be anxious for nothing, is because they're isolated. There's no time to be isolated, man. It was not supposed to be alone. This is the time for us to turn to each other and look for ways in which we can help each other.
That's right.
So that's why I'm available to you. When you call, I'm available to you, okay? And I know if I call you, you're going to be available to me. If I'm going through some tough time, you'll pray for me. You'll wake up and won't ask, what time is it? You just say, can I pray for you? And I'm trying to get off the phone. Hey, before you go, because I know you're headed to hell right now, so let me pray for you, get you some help. I love you so much.
Oh, man. See, that's what I'm talking about, man. You have a way of being so serious and getting so deep and then turn it into a joke right at the very end. And you got to get people watery-eyed and then crying at the same time, man. That's just amazing, man. That's a skill set right there.
Well, I want us to do a seminar together. I'm going to do a piece on how to tell your story. And I want you to do the piece on how to become successful with your knowledge, with your experiences as a speaker. I think the two of us doing that one, too, will teach people how to earn money from home, because this is a brand new day. 30 million people applying for unemployment compensation. Only 14% will get a check. Only 14%. And so now, this is a time. They said opportunity knocks on every door. No. Opportunity stands by silently waiting for you to recognize it.
That's right.
And so there's some people watching us right now saying, I need Jose to tell me, how are you doing this? How'd you get this hook up with Les Brown, Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy, that you can call him and he's coming on here to be with you? What is it that I need to do to grow my multi-level marketing organization, or to increase my sales, or to be more engaged in my life or my relationship? There are relationships as a result of unemployment. Every time unemployment goes up 1%, and this is before the coronavirus, 10,000 women are beaten and abused. Why? Because of misplaced aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so this peace, this energy, this positive force that you've decided to be, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. You're serving the highest within you, the God presence within you, to make the world a better place. And I thank you for that. To God be the glory.
Amen, man. And I like to say how you say, I am a masterpiece because?
You're a piece of the master.
Come on, you better tell somebody. I love it, man. I love it. I think that's going to be great, man. And you heard it from the man's mouth himself, guys. We're going to be doing a webinar to bring massive value to you guys on how to share your story, how to tell your story, and how to become successful no matter what adversity, no matter what struggle, no matter what challenges that you may face, how to overcome that, how to become successful, and how to attack life on a whole nother level.
And increase their cash flow.
That's right.
Yeah, people say money won't make you happy, but everybody want to find out for themselves.
Yeah, it's right up there with oxygen, like you said, huh?
Yes.
I love it, man. I love it. So your authenticity, your transparency, your vulnerability, and, you know, real men cry. You know, you're not afraid to shed some tears on stage because of the experiences and the past pains and hurts that you've endured and persevered and overcome. And I think that in itself also, you know, attracts people to you, because you make yourself vulnerable. And a lot of times when people come into a big arena, such as the ones that you've spoken at, and they see that, that just makes an immediate connection with them. It breaks down walls that may have been present, and it makes an immediate connection with them. Like you're saying, it's like sometimes, you know, you can make a head connection with people, and that can only last for so long. But when you make a heart connection with somebody, that's what's going to last for a very long time, forever possibly, and create that legacy that you've created over the years.
Yeah, and that's why I'm excited about doing a seminar with you sooner than later, because we don't know how much time we have left. I think about Michael Jackson when he said, I'm gonna do this tour, world tour, and this is it. What he was saying was, I'm not gonna do any like this ever again. And millions of dollars was spent to reserve stadiums. Millions of dollars was spent to do the marketing and the promotion. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars was spent to hire the personnel to host Michael in every city that he announced where he was going to go, and tickets were sold out in minutes. But no one ever thought that he would die before doing the first concert.
That's crazy.
I remember when I was married to Gladys Knight, she said something. She said, look, I said, what? There's Frank Sinatra. And when we sat at the table, at first his head was turned to the other side, but I didn't see him. And then he turned around, I saw him. And I heard him say to a guy, live each day as if it were your last, because one day it will be. And that's where we are. Look, I've been on the planet 75 years. I can't tell you, Jose, how many times I woke up and said, this just can't be real. This is strange. I gotta be nervous sitting next to somebody or someone talking to me. And not only do I have to be concerned about the breaths kicking like Bruce Lee, but
what I'm saying.
But the projection of their saliva and spitting the corridor could take me out.
Crazy, right?
Come on. I can't feel comfortable being on a plane because the air is recirculated. I just turned down a $225,000 speaking engagement in Germany. And I said, Mr. Brown, we'd like you to come over and you'll be speaking before 50,000 people. I said, thank you, sir, but unless I can do it from my living room on a big screen, on Zoom or Skype, I had to turn this off or down. He said, I said $225,000. I said, I heard it clearly. I said, my life is worth more than that. I'm not getting on an airplane that has recirculated air, and I don't know who's sitting next to me. Well, we have eliminated the middle seats. Yeah, but you haven't eliminated the recycled air. And some of those, the coronavirus germs might be hungry to get into my nostrils. Unstoppable, compelled by a desire to kill. No.
That's right.
Okay. That's so right. This is the time we have to be concerned, but not consumed. Not consumed with fear. When fear shows up, Zig said, that the majority of people face everything and run. But there's a small number of people like you and Andrea face everything and rise.
That's right. You better tell somebody.
Yes. If you don't know, you better tell somebody up in here, and rise to the occasion to motivate and inspire people. Rise to the occasion to be an example of the kind of life that you need to have in the middle of the storm. It's easy to have faith and have courage and determination when you have your health and your marriage is working and your children are acting like they have good sense. It's easy not to be anxious then.
That's
to
right.
Stand up and say, to God be the glory. But when life knocks you on the door, your door, and one day you are able to walk unassisted, and then something happens, and you can't do that anymore like you used to.
Crazy.
Where's your faith then?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you smiling? Well, look at me. What do I have to smile about? A lot. This is a day the Lord has blessed and brought. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
That's right.
No, I can't do the things that I used to do. Guess what? I'm still here. This is the best day of my life. If you don't believe it, try missing one.
That's right. That's right. And on top of that, you know, that's one of the things, Les, that I always tell people when they, because the doctors weren't even expecting me to live past my teenage years. And I would tell people, through the grace of God, I'm excited because this year, in February, on the 25th, I celebrated my 43rd birthday.
Wow.
That's right.
Glory.
And that alone wakes me up every morning with a fire and a passion and an energy to wake up and attack life. Because according to what the doctor said, I wasn't supposed to be here. But we know that we serve a greater doctor who has a greater plan and a higher plan for my life. So just the fact that I'm able to wake up, and I even tell people now, even during this coronavirus, the fact that I'm able to wake up and go like this and take a deep breath on my own with no ventilator, like there's so many people on right now with this whole coronavirus, that I'm excited about that. I'm thankful and I'm grateful. And, you know, that's what I tell people, like when they ask me, like, how do you wake up and just, you know, always so positive and smiling and so upbeat? And I was like, listen, guys, because I'm still alive. I'm still able to breathe on my own. I can still brush my teeth on my own. I have a beautiful wife and children that are counting on me to show up for life every single day. And so every single day that I get to wake up and do that, not that I have to wake up and do that, because there's so many people in wheelchairs that they just decide and choose to stay home and stay in bed and not attack life the way they could be and should be. But fortunately enough for me, I'm able to do that. And every day I get the opportunity to, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah. And something else that you and I have so much in common, but the main thing, our enjoyment of life, our joy. That's right. Happiness is happenstance, but joy, a joy that regardless of what happens, happiness is dependent upon the circumstances being right, but joy, if the circumstances aren't right, transcends that.
That's right.
And I remember when I was diagnosed with cancer, and Dr. Alfred Goldson, he said, Mr. Brown, you have cancer. And my daughter was with me in it, and he's talking about the fact that I would have palliative care. You know, that's what they say will make him comfortable. And my daughter teared up somewhat. I could see in the peripheral vision. And this is something happened recently at the Cancer Centers of America here in Atlanta, when doctor from Pakistan said, Mr. Brown, are you aware of the fact that you have fourth stage cancer? And I said, yes. And that it has metastasized to your spine. I said, yes. And that night, I did a motivational message from my bed before I went through the procedure they had for me the next day, because a nurse told me, and I asked her, I said, why is this X around my neck? And they said, oh, they didn't tell you. I said, no, you might not be able to talk when you come out of this. I said, you gotta be kidding me. I'm a speaker.
That's right.
Sorry, no one told you. And I called all my kids and told them that I love them. And then I was in bed and I said, you know what? Just in case that this might be the last night that I can talk to people, I took my phone out. I said, I would give a motivational message right now in my hospital bed. I think people could Google it on Facebook, and people watched it. It went viral for over 4 million people saw it. And a friend of mine named George Frazier, you know George, he said, my God, I can't believe that he's giving a motivational message from his hospital bed. I told my kids, when they say I'm gone, say don't let them embalm me for 3 days. And then the third day, sneak in the morgue and put a microphone in my hand or a cell phone. If I don't wake up and say, you gotta be hungry. Call your brothers and sisters, say, Dad's gone now. He's out of here. So I believe we were born for such a time as this. I consider this a God moment.
Absolutely.
That from the time that you decided that you're gonna meet me, that I believe is a God moment, that you've been a blessing to me. And you say that I've been a blessing to you. And I think that all things work together for good for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. There are people listening to us right now that's rethinking their lives. And that's one of the things we have to do right now. If we have to rethink our lives and rethink our relationships. Mm-hmm. What are the relationships you can count on, as John Leslie would say? And what are the relationships that you must count out? There are people who are always there when they need you, but when you need them, they're nowhere to be found.
Wow.
And so the other thing is that I admire about you, that Jim Rohn said, he said, your life and my life, all of our lives, it can either be a warning or an example, a warning what not to do, or an example of what to do. Uh-huh. And so your life is an example of what to do. If you lose your ability to walk, what to do? If you lose abilities and talents that you once had that you can use, but now because of physical limitations that you can't do that anymore, what is it that you need to do to maintain your sanity? What is it you need to do to have a peaceful state of mind? What is it you need to do to still see yourself as a force for good and wake up in the morning and somebody has to help you get out of the bed and clean yourself up, and you say, I'm going to still make a difference in life. Don't let your liability be your excuse. Don't let it compromise how you go forward in your life. You have no idea how many people look at you and say, wow, I admire him.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And you know, I was hungry, man. I was hungry when I was going after you, boy. You
I know it. I can see. I don't know why you didn't get a ticket as fast as you were going in that little wheelchair.
I was at 95. Like, I got to get up with less. I got to get up with less.
Yes, and you have manifested it. And so we'll be together to the end of the road.
You know, people always ask me, man, like, man, how did you get to meet Les Brown, and how did you, you know, get him to coach you, and how did you get him to, you know, mentor you? And I'm like, favor ain't fair, baby. Favor is not fair.
No, no. But it responds to hunger.
Exactly. Yeah.
Book of Life says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, right thinking, mm-hmm. right words, right emotion, right energy, right relationships. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled.
That's right.
Most people, because they don't have hunger for a new life, they are living a misplaced life.
Wow, that is so
making
good.
The cemetery wealthy. Miles Monroe said, rob the cemetery of your dreams. Rob the cemetery of your potential. Rob the cemetery of your greatness. Rob the cemetery of your ideas, your gifts, and your potential, that you were sent here, chosen out of 400 million sperm, that you were sent here to make the planet a better place. Don't allow the cemetery, the graveyard, to deprive us of that.
That's so
you can tell I'm on fire today.
Yes, you are, man. I don't ever see you on a day when you're not on fire.
Oh, but it's up a few notches. Oh, don't let this 75 fool you up in here. You better talk to somebody.
You know what? That's another awesome thing that I wanted to point out as well. You know, you just turned 75 years old. You have so many people that are older in age that are so intimidated by technology. They're so intimidated by the computer and social media, and they don't even want to touch it. There's so many that don't want to touch it, but just watching you, man, I watch you every day. You do your interviews, you get on, you do your lives. And that's why that's why I love you. I know that's why everybody else loves you, man, because one of the things that used to hinder me previously was getting in front of a cell phone. Like, you put me in front of 10,000 people and I'm in the zone. But you put me in a room with a cell phone or a camera and nobody else around, I'm like, man, a deer in the headlights. And I used to get so like afraid of it, like uncomfortable. And I used to just watch you, man, like, man, Les don't care. He just goes up, he just speaks from the heart. And you know, you even helped me to motivate me to even step outside and doing that. And my wife too, man, my wife, you got to hear her in the background, man. She's like, babe, what are you talking about? You don't got to be perfect. Just hit record, start talking, and hit publish or hit post. And just keep doing it over and over and over. And I'm telling you, man, Andrea has been a blessing and a godsend. She's my angel on earth, man. I literally don't know what I would be doing or where I would be if God hadn't blessed me with her in my life and our children. And we're just so blessed, man. I'm blessed to have you on the show. I'm blessed to just be a part of your family, and you a part of my family. And your family has always been so welcoming to me. You know, John, Leslie, Ona, Serena, all of them, just amazing individuals. Patrick, Calvin, everybody. So I just want to thank you again, Les, man, for having me on the show. If people want to get in touch with you, I know you have some new coaching and mentoring that you're doing even now with this whole coronavirus that they can, you know, get access to you online. Where can they go? What new product? Because I always know you're creating and developing new services and products, man, all the time. What's the current thing that's out where people can find out more about you and partner with you and get your mentorship?
I want people to get my new book. It's entitled, You've Got to Be Hungry. And I want them to go right now to I Am Hungry Les Brown. I Am Hungry Les Brown. And order this book. It's going to change their lives.
Can you hold that up a little bit more? Can you hold the book up a little more?
Yes.
IamHungryLesBrown.com, right?
Yes, IamHungryLesBrown.com, and order the book and help me get it on the New York Times bestseller list. That's number one. The other thing is, people that are listening, and if they want to learn how to tell their story so they can make a difference and increase their cash flow, then I encourage them to email me at lesbrown77 and say, I was watching you and Jose, and we're going to give them a special rate, and then you and I will do the combination of how to use your story to make a difference, and that's the part that you're going to do, and I'm going to do the part of how to make money and how to tell your story. That's Les Brown, 277 is my lucky number. I was born February the 17th. I'm one of seven children. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho seven times. Naaman dipped himself in the River Jordan seven times. Come on, somebody, tie the yellow bow tie. And so seven is my lucky number. And so just email me, lesbrown77@gmail.com. And we will vet you, because this is not for everybody. I don't want to work with everybody. I just want me and my buddy to get together and provide value for people and create a community of collaborative, achievement-driven relationships. People who know that we should be a blessing in spite of the stuff that we have gone through and what we're facing now. And know, live their lives from a place of knowing. Ye shall know the truth. What is the truth? This shall not pass. Ye shall know the truth. What's the truth? I'll keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, not on thee and corona. Ye shall know the truth. What's the truth? You've been given authority and dominion over everything on the face of the earth. If you lost your job, you've been foreclosed on, yes, all of that does not matter. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's where we have to live from.
Man, you preach today. I might have to take a collection. For those of you that want to sip it, man, I'm telling you, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Man, I love you, Pops. Thank you for hanging out with me. You heard it, guys. LesBrown77@gmail.com. I am hungry, Les Brown, right? Is it
I am hungry, LesBrown.com.
For the book.
Order the book, yes.
Awesome.
And well, if you're interested in my one-on-one coaching or want to be a part of our training that will teach people how to tell their story and how to make money in this industry, email me at LesBrown77@gmail.com.
Les, one final word for that person that's listening or watching and they're feeling discouraged, they're feeling hopeless, they're feeling maybe even suicidal, and they're feeling like giving up. What's some final words you would give them to keep on going and make sure that they don't stop until they win?
I would say this to them, to repeat to themselves. I've been fighting fourth stage cancer for over 27 years. When I get up in the morning, I say to myself, and we encourage yourself, Lord, whatever I face today, you and I can handle it. You and I can handle it. I can't handle this. When my mother was dying, about to take her last breath, that prayer gave me strength. I'd never seen anybody die before. And my mother, I had to say, Lord, if she goes, if it be so, I know you could save her, but if it be so, I won't bow to depression.
That's right.
I won't get angry and question you. I will still stand. Therefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and know that your arms around me, and you will carry me through this experience. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, there you have it, folks. You heard it straight from the goat's mouth, the greatest of all times.
You call me a goat, I'm a pains to slap you when I see you. And I know you shoot me.
Oh,
I love you so much. Thank you.
I love it, man. I hope you guys had an...
You're a goat, you know.
Well, guys, there you have it, man. I hope you had an amazing time with us. Listen, share this with everyone you know. Subscribe, leave a review for us. Help us get out there, man. And listen, until the next time, until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless.
God bless you. I love you.
Love you too. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.